I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all rise, please, for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present, save for Councillor Nutt, who is away on a work commitment.
Thank you. Just a few announcements, and I'm going to end with some comments from Councillor Becerra with respect to the Santa Claus parade, which was held on Saturday. Fantastic weather. Everything worked perfectly. The judges were phenomenal. The floats were good. The bands were excellent. Couldn't have had a better day. I want to congratulate the Ridgeway Crystal Beach High School junior and senior football teams for winning the Zone 3 championships recently. And I know that there are a couple of players from Fort Erie that play for the Ridgeway team. So if they're winning now, imagine how good that team is going to be when the high schools are amalgamated in a couple of years. They'll be able to win who knows what. Would you say the Grey Cup? Well, I guess hope springs eternal. I did want to make a comment with respect to the Central Avenue Bridge. And originally the problem was people trying to make right-hand turns off of Winnemute Street onto the bridge against the traffic signal. You'll all know that there are signals, temporary signals at the bottom of each end of the bridge to control the traffic, which is now confined to one lane because they're removing one of the lanes in preparation for the eventual replacement of the bridge. That has resulted, the failure of some people to abide by those signs has resulted in Winnemute Street being closed in terms of access to Central Avenue. On Friday, I received a phone call from Councillor Nutt, who had just experienced a half hour of sheer agony at that location. He was following a vehicle going southbound on Central Avenue. They got to the bridge. The light was red. The vehicle ahead of him, I guess, chose to proceed in defiance of the red light. And all was good until he got to the top of the bridge, at which point he met traffic coming the opposite way on a green light. For the next half an hour, I gather it was a lot like the Keystone Cops with the light changing, vehicles going up. Eventually, all the vehicles had to back down off of the bridge. That created a lot of potential danger. It's a safety issue. And I would like to think that that isn't going to happen again. But I'm pretty confident that the message that we're getting out will get to the people who are most likely to abide by these rules. But I have to urge the people in the town of Fort Erie to abide by the signals and the signs with respect to this Central Avenue Bridge before something happens and somebody does get injured or there's a disastrous outcome. It's particularly inconsiderate and thoughtless for people to ignore the red light, whether it's on a temporary location at a bridge such as Central Avenue or whether it's someplace else anywhere in the world. So I think we can do better, and I would ask the residents of town of Fort Erie to be cautious as they approach that bridge, because the next step I'm advised would be to close the bridge entirely to emergency traffic only, and that would be particularly inconvenient for a lot of folks. On that happy note, Councillor Becerra, I'd be happy to hear some comments from you with respect to the parade.
Thank you, Mayor Redekamp. A monumental undertaking every year, but always well worth it when you see the smiles of the kids and the families along the parade routes. The bridge posed our own set of challenges, but nothing that couldn't be mitigated. And I'd like to thank Mr. Kelly Walsh for helping us overcome those obstacles. It was greatly appreciated. As far as our committee, I want to thank Barb, my partner in crime the last 3 years, as well as fellow committee members Susan and Julie, specifically to the Bridgeburg BIA board for their assistance and support. Town staff, who are always remarkable in helping us achieve a very fantastic parade day, but specifically Al Stouffer, who gets all of our permits put together, all of our resources deployed, and Kevin Bocock and his team for all that they do in the days before and of the parade. Thank you to my colleagues, Marietta Kopp, Councillor Zanko, Butler, and McDermott for your participation in one way or another during parade day. Our sponsors, we couldn't do it without them. It does take dollars to put on a parade, and we're very appreciative that they come forward every year, year after year. And to the volunteers, we had 42 dedicated, dynamic, talented people that day who choose to give up their opportunity to watch the parade so that it can be facilitated in a safe and timely manner. And it's no easy task. You definitely get to see all levels of humanity on parade day, from the best to the worst. For those individuals who chose to jump barricades and curbs and nudge volunteers because they were in a hurry, you'll be getting a lump of coal in your stocking. But to everybody else, thank you very much. It was a tremendous day, and we're already making preparations to welcome Santa Claus again in 2016. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Councillor Passero, and congratulations to you and your team. Fantastic job. There is no addendum this evening. I do want to recognize that aside from Regional Councillor Annunziata, who comes here regularly, we have Regional Councillor Bob Gale in the audience, along with Police Chief McGuire, and you'll be making a presentation shortly. And I also just noticed that former Councillor Bill Brunton came in. I'd like to recognize him as well. Good evening. So, are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, there are some public notices. First, with respect to the 2016 budget meeting schedule, our next budget meeting is with respect to water and wastewater. That's on December the 9th, 2015. Then that's followed on January the 13th, 2016, with the library and EDTC budgets. And on Wednesday, January 27th, 2016, the general levy operating budget. If necessary, we will have a further meeting on Wednesday, February the 3rd, 2016. All meetings take place in the council chambers. All meetings start at 5:30 p.m. There's also a notice of a public meeting with respect to a property rezoning and draft plan of subdivision with respect to property east of Netherby Road, west of Black Creek Road, and north of Baker Road in Douglastown. That meeting is scheduled for Monday, December the 7th, 2015 at 6 p.m. That will be held in the Town Hall Council Chambers, and information relative to the report regarding that rezoning will be available online Wednesday, December the 2nd, 2015. Further public meeting notice with respect to the combined official plan and rezoning bylaw amendment for 21 Wintermute Street, and that meeting will take place as well on Monday, December the 7th, 2015 at 6 p.m. in the Town Hall Council Chambers. And again, the report will be available online December the 2nd, 2015. That takes us to the Regional Councillor's Report. Councillor Annunziata, good evening.
Thank you, Your Worship, members of Council, and I'd like to welcome my colleagues, Bob Gale and Councillor Barrick, who's attending on a personal matter to support his brother-in-law. So thank you for the opportunity. Not a lot going on over the last 2 weeks since my last report to Council. Obviously, Council's still committed to the 0% budget guidance. And as we ratify those individual budgets, I'll bring you an update then. But so far, so good. Two specific issues I want to bring to your attention, and these will be coming on the agenda specifically this week with respect to Public Works Committee and Planning and Development. I'd like to thank our staff for making their comments known with respect to wetland conservation. As we all know, that act is under review, and I just thought I'd highlight some of the important points that the region of Niagara is forwarding on behalf of all municipalities, including Fort Erie. The Niagara watershed includes over 117 kilometers of waterfront on Lake Erie and Lake Ontario, 58 kilometers on the Niagara River, and three sub-watersheds containing river systems, wetlands, and groundwater resources. What does that mean? It means that we are blessed with water. Significant changes in the mapping of wetlands, the evaluation of framework for wetlands, and associated wetland policies continue to challenge job growth and economic activity in Niagara. Some of these challenges include, and these are very specific, and like I said, I want to commend staff for bringing forward, and the work of this council, for bringing forward the issues that we've had to endure here in the town of Fort Erie. Wetland scoring criteria does not consider Niagara's unique watershed area, which abuts two Great Lakes, resulting in a greater number of wetland being designated as provincially significant. Does not understand the uniqueness of Fort Erie in that regard. 14% of all greenfield employment land in the Niagara Economic Gateway Zone and Center is undevelopable due to wetlands and adjacent lands. 37% of greenfield gateway employment lands are further encumbered by environmental features such as woodlands and fish habitat. Wetland mapping strands or fragments certain lands, adding to the undevelopable quantity of employment lands. 20% of greenfield employment lands are required for roads and servicing. The cumulative impact reduces the employment land supply in the gateway by 60%, which is a staggering number. 24% of all planned serviceable urban employment parcels are impacted by wetlands and adjacent lands in the gateway. And in Fort Erie alone, more than 39% of all greenfield employment land is encumbered by wetlands and adjacent lands. So on the one hand, we have the Gateway CIP, which is to encourage investment and development. And on the other hand, we have a siloed policy in the Conservation Act, which limits that employment land that we can actually utilize. So those comments have gone to the province, and certainly what we're doing at the Niagara Conservation Authority, we're establishing two different model approaches. One is boots on the ground. We no longer want to take the word of aerial surveys. We're going to put boots on the ground and make sure the mapping is actually correct and that it is actually significant wetland. So the criteria is going to change. And number two, we're petitioning the province for a net benefit, which means if we want to develop this land and it is a natural wetland, we would like to think that we can develop that same natural wetland in another location, therefore offsetting any destruction in the environment with respect to the wetland issue. So we're hoping that the province is going to recognize that we are faced with some unique challenges here in Fort Erie, and I'll bring you a report as we move forward in that process. The other issue I want to bring forward, and again, I'll bring it to the attention of staff, and certainly they're probably well aware of it, is the CIP, the Gateway CIP. Now, understanding that when this Gateway CIP was put in place, there's an opportunity for retroactive, and probably Mr. Brady can speak to this one as well. As far as the Gateway CIP, there are some developers out there that either weren't aware that they could be incentivized to that degree, or they started their process and then recognized the fact that, hey, I might be eligible for CIPs. So the region has put a policy in place, and it has to be ratified by council, that any potential applicants can have an opportunity to retroactively seek those CIP grants, and I think they're extending that period till February of 2016. Obviously, it has to be ratified at this level of council first before the region can consider it. So I'll put it to staff, I'll put it to council. If there are any developments that would benefit from the Gateway CIP, there's still an opportunity for them to perhaps get in on those incentive dollars. And that's something that we've recognized as a council, that we will make that retroactive. But again, it has to be ratified at this level of government. And I'll open it up to questions or comments.
Thank you, Councillor Annunziata. And I was remiss in failing to recognize Regional Councillor Barrick. You kind of snuck in, and welcome. Any questions of the Regional Councillor? Yes, you're off the hook this evening, Councillor Annunziata. Thank you for the information. Now, I see that Dennis Hernandez-Galliano is here, and we had discussed flipping up. Why don't we proceed? Okay. Good evening, Mr. Hernandez-Galliano. You're about to be recognized this evening, and so I would call upon Bev Bradnam to as you once were.
As I still am.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Your Worship. Tonight we're here to celebrate our friend, Dennis Hernandez-Galliano, acknowledge your significant contributions, and present you with the ANCTO's AODA 10th Anniversary Champion Award. I'm going to read from here so I don't cry. Turn my back. 101 of these awards are being presented this week throughout the province, and these are some of the reasons why Dennis was nominated by the Accessibility Advisory Committee and why he was chosen as the community champion for accessibility. Dennis suffered a spinal cord injury in his late teens, but he's never let his physical disability get in the way of accomplishing his goals.
Dennis has served as a member of the Town of Fort Erie Accessibility Advisory Committee since it was established in 2002, and he has served as chair since 2011, and prior to that was vice chair for 4 years. Dennis continually sets the bar high, not only for the AAC, for council, for our staff, but also reaches beyond the committee's mandate to outside organizations and businesses alike. In the community, Dennis is also very active with the Greater Fort Erie Youth Soccer Club, serving as a board member and a soccer coach for many, many years. Dennis has been instrumental in getting walkways constructed and repaired in public parks, particularly where there are soccer fields. He's also chair of the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee that looks at improving the walkability of our community. He acts as a liaison between that committee and our committee, and he's led initiatives such as the creation of bike racks throughout the various downtown cores, as well as a joint audit of bus stops and shelters with both committees, building on their similar needs to have active and accessible transit services throughout the community. Dennis has also been a community leader when it comes to the Rick Hansen Relays, and in the recent 25th anniversary celebration, he was actually a community medal bearer for Fort Erie. He's been instrumental in a number of accessibility improvements within the community, most recently a catalyst for improvements at Oaks Park, Optimus Park, Service Ontario, Stevensville Canada Post Office, improvements to traffic signals at intersections, and the inclusion of audible crossing signals, to name a few. Most recently, Dennis worked with the Niagara Parks Commission to make sure that we created an accessible parkway or pathway to the monument so that veterans can fully participate in Remembrance Day ceremonies. As chair of the AAC, he's worked with community partners to ensure accessibility improvements are identified and implemented. During National Access Awareness Week, he's presented the AAC's accomplishments to council and the public. He's participated in acknowledging external stakeholders that implemented removal of barriers based on the AAC's request and his visit with property owners. He also presented at the recent Chamber of Commerce Business Excellence Award for accessibility. His application for our committee states, having the chance to be a part of this committee gives me the opportunity to make Fort Erie a better place for our community and visitors alike. My way of trying to make a difference and giving back to this great town that we live in. Even though he suffered physically because of his injuries, he's focused on giving back to the community and making it more accessible. A number of events have been hosted by the AAC under Dennis's leadership, including a regional forum that included focus groups discussing such things as healthcare, transportation, best practices. He's also been involved with access awareness events, which brought in service providers throughout the community so that residents could learn what was available to improve access and remove barriers. As a soccer coach and member of the Fort Erie Soccer Club, Dennis has also been a leader in breaking down those barriers. In 2009, Dennis and myself did some accessible customer service training, and that resulted in new registration forms so that parents with disabilities or parents that had children with disabilities could actually work with the club for improvements to registration and right out onto the field. So he's been instrumental in that. Personally, Dennis visits various establishments to meet with owners and operators to show the difficulties that those in wheelchairs may encounter, and then provides valuable suggestions, and once in place, we'll try the improvements out and give feedback. He's also opened his accessible home and van to individuals who require modifications either in their home or vehicle, and he discusses with them from his own personal experiences what works well, where it can be obtained, and what he would do differently. He's also been instrumental in receiving council support, both financially and personally. The AAC under Dennis's leadership now receives an annual budget and most recently was approved for funding a regional AAC event in 2016, which will include AAC members from throughout the region and local businesses. Dennis was instrumental in the purchase and rollout of the accessible beach mats, and he's worked diligently to ensure that walkways and pathways within our parks are barrier-free, and has also provided comment on accessible playground features to ensure that persons, especially children with disabilities, have equal access to park amenities. His ongoing involvement in many community events is very inspirational. He's very humble, and he downplays his assistance, but without his help, many things our committee has done would not have been accomplished. Dennis has an impact on everyone that he meets. His positive attitude and proactive approach to life has such an influence on how we all view disabilities and challenges. He never gives up. He strives to find solutions to remove barriers for everyone. Dennis, you're an inspiration, and your can-do attitude is contagious. I'm so privileged to call you a colleague, but more than that.
we'll get a chance to do a standing ovation shortly. Thank you very much, Bev. I know that despite those comments were lengthy, that you cut back your comments significantly. And if the rest of you are like me, I was getting fatigued just listening to what Dennis does. Dennis, I know that I speak on behalf of the council and all of the residents of Fort Erie in telling you how very proud we are of you and your accomplishments. You're an inspiration. You're a role model. And the community thanks you very, very much for your participation and involvement in the very many activities that you're involved in. And at this point, I would like to ask Councillor Passero, who is the council's representative on the Accessory Advisory Committee, to help me to present to you the AMCTO Ontario Advisory Accessibility for Ontarians with Disabilities Act 10th Anniversary Champion Award. It is a wonderful honor. It's a once-in-a-lifetime achievement. These awards will be given.
Thanks, guys.
Just checking. First of all, I just want to say thank you to the Accessibility Committee. Without them nominating me, I don't think this would have been possible. Really, I can't really take much credit for this. You know, it is a team effort. Without them, a lot of the stuff wouldn't have happened as well. I'm humbled and just, I guess, overwhelmed. And also thank you to Council. Present and past, you know, you've been very supportive over the past, I guess you can say 12, 13 years that this committee has been in, part of a town. And, without your support and continuing support, a lot of the stuff that had been implemented in the community, wouldn't have been done. I guess you could say to a certain extent, we are the exception in the region. People are surprised at the amount of stuff that we've done for the size community that we have. And I take great pride in that and to say that I am from Fort Erie. I may not have been born here, but I'll tell you, I sure am glad that I am here. Couldn't have been in a better place. If it wasn't for me being in this community, I wouldn't have the support. I can say inspiration too, to try to make this place better. It's the reason why you as counselors sit on that on council, and the reason why myself and the people in my committee sit in this committee is just to better this town. I also want to say thank you to my friends and family. Without their support and their encouragement, I wouldn't have been able to accomplish a lot of the stuff that I have. And to Bev, she also downplays her role in this committee. Bev's has been very much more instrumental person than I have. Without her effort in this committee, a lot of the things that have gone through and have been accomplished since she's been a part of this committee, don't know where they would have gone. Her efforts and her energy inspires us to get going and keeps us on track as well. and to my mother. I know that... excuse me. She was the one who encouraged me to apply to this committee. I was hesitant to do so at a very young age. You know, I didn't think that I was going to do much of a be much of an influence being so young coming in. But she did encourage me. I mean, by encourage, I mean encourage me as a mother would. She said, "Apply. You never know what can happen." She goes, "You know, you've always wanted to volunteer, and just do it. See if they accept you, and if they don't, then it is what it is." And without that support, I guess I wouldn't be here. Without her always not being behind me but being by my side, a lot of the things that I've accomplished since my injury would have been possible. So, Mom, thank you very much for everything you've done for me, not just me, but the whole family. And again, thank you, everybody, and very much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mom. Those are very nice words you said about your mother. She's a bit of a tornado herself. Yeah. Welcome. We'll give any of those who wish to leave with Dennis and his family an opportunity to do so before we go to our next delegation. Okay, our next delegation is Bob Gale, the chair of the Niagara Regional Police Services Board, and the chief, Jeff McGuire. Good evening, gentlemen.
How do I follow up on that?
Can't.
I can't, so I won't
even... Do your best.
Thank you. Mayor, if we follow the format as we have done on other councils, I'd like to speak for about 5 minutes on dispatch motion. Any questions you have, then the chief will introduce the service member that's here as well, and any questions you have on policing. If that's okay, that's what...
I think what we'll do is we'll let you speak, and then we'll let your chief or associate speak, and then we'll ask questions.
Sure.
You can come back if we have some questions of you as well.
By all means, thank you. Do you have the motion in front of you? Well, Mayor, Council, and staff, thank you for having us up there. This is our traveling roadshow, for lack of better words. And this was brought on by the region when last November, after being elected, I was taken on a tour with other regional councillors of some of the sites that the region has, and we went to the public health, the EMS dispatch center, and I turned to Val Yeager, the doctor of public health, and I said, wouldn't it make sense to put these things together in the way of dispatching with the fire department and the police and the EMS, and wouldn't that save time and save money in the long run? And she said, yes and yes, and I asked, why aren't we doing it? And she said, it's complicated. Then I was furnished with a report that cost us all, there was $177,000 from the IBI group that you should have been sent, Mayor, an attachment with this report on it, all for all your council. And that, and if you read the whole thing, it would bore you, but the bottom line is some of the, at the end of it says, why isn't the region taking an active role in leading this emerging dispatch? And there's a lot of other points, as the chief will mention, that that the police and dispatch organizations have benefited from this. But the bottom line is the benefits of merging dispatch throughout. One thing I want to caution you is in no way, shape, or form am I here to suggest of merging fire departments, and that's not a wish, that's not a want, that's not what I see the fiber, the moral fiber that volunteer fire departments bring, as well as some cities in that, and I have no want on that, because the city, the region by sending me around to talk to all the councils was worried that the region will look like they're a bully, that they're trying to force something on that they shouldn't, because right now you are dispatched by St. Catharines Fire Department. St. Catharines Dispatch Center does everyone outside of Niagara Falls in the Niagara region, as well as Haldimand Norfolk area. Correct me if I'm wrong to the fire chief. And Niagara Falls does theirs. And with upgrades on radio communication networks, and I don't profess to understand radio communications as much, but there's a, is it a P25 chief narrow band in 2018 that comes on? And Niagara Falls has that, St. Catharines doesn't. As well as backup dispatch centers, the cost of it are well over $2 million for each one. If common sense alone would tell you, if you put some of these things together, that you'd have to save money and you'd have to be more efficient. And we talked today, we had a meeting with the chief and some of his staff, and we talked about major events is where this would really come to play. I know from being a police officer back in the 70s, it's the big items where you need fire, emergency services, as well as any other outlet. There, I'll give you an example. I was just in Paris. I flew in last night, and I was there just after that happened. And the police, two doors down from the Eiffel Tower, without getting into a long story, had a major investigation at the Pullman Hotel, which is two doors down from the Eiffel Tower, crossing the Seine River. They brought in two fire trucks, a bus, turned them slanted sideways, and brought in all the police with the big guns and that. My wife and I and a doctor and his wife were just standing there trying to find where to go. But to coordinate something like that on a big event, or planes falling from the skies or things like this, this is where a real benefit of merging dispatch centers would help. Now, this is not a quick formula. This is something that could take 8 or 10 years. But in 2018, expenses have to be borne by the people in St. Catharines, as well as you, for the new communication, the walkie-talkies and the dispatch center to make the P25 band. And you as a council here, and your staff have shown how you do well with partnerships with the police, with your towers, that we have the tower on the water tower that we're still using now, but once the water tower comes down, we're piggybacking both of us together on a tower somewhere else in the city here. You've shown how we can work together on this and achieve low cost by achieving the same thing. The backup dispatch centers, as I have mentioned, alone, you've got probably 4 for the Niagara region. You don't need that many if you have one dispatch center that can do it, or if you just bring a couple things together. I've talked to Chief Lee Smith, Chief Dave Wood, both from St. Catharines Fire Department and Niagara Falls Fire Department, and Chief Kevin Smith from EMS. They're on side with this. I say that lightly, because certainly you're looking at your manpower. The associations are looking at it, or the unions are looking at their manpower on that, but through attrition, this can be achieved. I was on the police force in 1973, and I saw how region was not formed rightly from my standpoint as a lowly constable, but still seeing how some chiefs were put here as inspectors and things like this, and it was just forced on us all. This one here can be done over the course of time, and common sense says it would work. My goal in this is that hopefully you'll support this. You'll probably send it back to staff or whatever, and I get it that you want your comments from your fire chief. But then we can form a steering committee to try and put this into place over the course of time. Because from talking to Deputy Joe Matthews today, and that he said these are things we've had meetings on to try and do, but we're not getting there. So we have to try and force it a little bit harder and in amalgamating some of these things together for the benefit of our grandkids and kids. And that. And other than that, I don't think I have much more to report on this. I'll bring the chief up to ask any questions on policing. If you have any questions on the police board, one thing I'd like to say though first, and Dave Barrick has left. He's chair of corporate services.
He's still hiding. He's here.
Oh, he's there. Okay. I don't know why you're still staying here, buddy. But with Sandy's support and your support, Mayor, is on the region we've achieved 0% budget with the police force for the first time ever in the history of the Niagara region. And I know with Sandy, with the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, same thing, and Dave's chair of corporate services for the region. So I'm really proud to be on a board like this. This is the first time these things have done. So we're watching costs, we're watching things like this, trying to handle it like a business. I'm just giving ourselves a pat on the back on this, that I hope that we can achieve something like this down the way with dispatch as well. And I give all the credit to the chief with Niagara Regional Police Force and your staff for achieving 0% budget with the police. That's a real hard thing to do. And we know a major crime could change that, put that out of whack on that, but we think we're representing you well. If you have any questions for us, if you forget a question, I have an email address. We all have email addresses. I guarantee you we will get back to you. So anytime down the way, please, you used me before.
So Gail, are there further comments to be made by either the chief or his associate?
Please.
Well, primarily, the dispatch discussion is from Bob in relation from his position as an Ag Regional Counselor. I have some information if you wish to ask things about operations. Detective Sergeant Mike Clark is here. He's the representative from the Fort Erie Station. So really, I'm here to assist. If you had any operational questions in regards to the policing that you wanted to ask, I'd be happy to try and answer.
Sure. Well, now that you're both up here at the podium, any members of council have any questions with respect to the delegation or the comments made by Mr. Gale? Councillor Gale, I suppose I should properly refer to you. I'll start with Councillor Lubertson. I'll go to Councillor Butler.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I don't know if you'll know the answer, but in our budget, during our budget deliberations, what we do with the fire department is we're purchasing on a yearly basis pagers. And you talked about the P25 band. And I'm just, is that what it was?
P25 low band, but that's not pagers. I believe that's radios. And your chief would be able to answer that to me. I don't know how your pagers work, chief.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is it going to be compatible or does it not matter?
The P25 would be compatible with everyone in the Niagara region. That's what the government is forcing on us in 2018. That's what everyone has to go to, the P25 low band.
Yes, and the question was, the pagers, when we buy in these pagers, are they compatible with the dispatch?
I cannot answer that, I'm sorry.
I wonder.
Well, you can raise that under new business
okay,
if you wish.
You.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Councillor Gale, you are right. Whenever I send an email, you respond very quickly, so thank you for that. And I encourage my colleagues that if they do have any questions that come up later to take advantage of that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What year was this report created, this current
2012.
Report? 2012.
It started in 2011 and came out in November 30th, 2012.
And you mentioned something about attrition, that your goal can be achieved through attrition. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you amalgamate the dispatch centers, everybody's worried about the jobs.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying it that way. If you know that your dispatch center, let's give an example. And this is just an example. Niagara Falls and St. Catharines Fire Department merging together on that. Not the fire department, the dispatch centers merging together. And if you know well in advance, you might be able to cut back some of the hirings on this.
Okay, my field of expertise is employment. So currently, how many individuals are employed at the dispatch centers? Do you have that information?
Two in Niagara Falls. I don't. Two consoles in Niagara Falls. And a total employment, I do not know.
Okay, so you don't know then how many jobs would be affected in the future if we amalgamate those individuals. So you probably don't know how many are close to retirement, how many can be filtered
right
through that. Okay, how can we find out that information?
You'd have to ask the fire chief in Niagara Falls.
Okay.
My presentation is tomorrow to them.
Well, my question is, why don't we have a more fulsome report that's updated that shows us all of the questions that we have in our mind, the answers to, so that we can make a better judgment call with respect to whether or not it would be advantageous to amalgamate all the services?
Because this motion has to go through first. Once a motion goes through, then we can form a steering committee to see how that can be achieved. I'm not.
So you'd like us to support something that we really have no basis of understanding at this point, because the report is written in 2012. I have not received that copy of the report, so I have not been able to go through it myself.
It was sent out about 4 months ago. So
really? I don't recall having that report, but I would like a copy of that.
By all
means,
Deb Morton sent it out
prior
chief,
to making.
I think our fire chief has a copy and can provide that.
Prior to making a decision as council to support it or not, I think we have to become more informed with respect to that. There are some outstanding questions
may I have.
Sure.
Sure. I'm coming at you with the common sense of the whole project. I'm not coming at you with the facts on the whole project at all. All we're trying to do right now is form a steering committee to form the, to do the, what's common sense written in this report on it. But certainly we'd have to go in front of Fire Chief Lee Smith and Dave Wood and figure out their game plan on something like this. And maybe it can't be achieved. Maybe EMS, well, EMS is part formed, funded by public health. That'll be the hardest one to bring into the loop. But with the new police station having been built and being opened up next year, I wish this would have been done 2 years ago, and that or at least started 2 years ago. Now, Lee Smith from EMS, talking in front of our regional council back in, I'll say March, it might have been February, admitted that there had never been a meeting of the bosses to get together to amalgamate, to set that in place. That's why I started piping up about this. And I said, why don't we start doing this? And that's when the regional council said, go around and see if there's support to try and form a steering committee to try and do this.
Well, what kind of cost savings are you looking at?
It says in the report here $1 million to $2 million, I feel. But you know you can make reports to say anything.
To the chair, Councilor Butler.
Yes, through you, your worship.
Let's proceed.
Yes. I have a couple of other questions for you that are financially related. So currently, what are our expenditures for those dispatch centers?
Again, I don't know. May I ask a question in return?
No.
Okay.
You can. And in a minute, I just want to ask you a follow-up question to that. So you don't know what currently the spend is, and you believe that if the amalgamation takes place, we're looking at $1.5 million worth of savings?
That's what the report says.
And you say in your presentation that that would take about 8 to 10 years to...
That's what I'm saying.
...to have an amalgamation after a steering committee gets together and things start to move forward. Is
that correct?
If you
handle it through attrition, that's what we're expecting from talking to the fire chiefs. But they were all pleased... And so the association, when I said that this isn't a five-year game plan, and that, and mostly because everybody's worried about jobs. Jobs are what is holding us back.
I agree. And through you, your worship,
yes.
One last final question.
Yes, Councilor Butler.
You had a question for me, so what would that be?
No, that was...
That was it? Okay. Thank you.
Any other councillors? Councilor McDermott.
Okay, I did get a glance at the report. The report indicates that the St. Catharines Fire Department is operating an efficient and cost-effective service, actually at a cost of 25% less than its peers. Will any consolidated model proposed increase that effectiveness or efficiency?
Increase the efficiency of what they're doing?
Yes.
Only in the examples, the only thing that we can think of from talking to the police and that isn't a major a crime, a major event. That's where it would be more efficient. In a minor heart attack or call of any kind, or one cruiser, one EMS vehicle, whatever, this isn't what this is about as much. Now, and it should look at your costs. If you're looking at savings, it should reflect on your costs.
Right. If I may, Your Worship?
Yes, please.
If all dispatch centers are located in one building and there's a technical breakdown due to technology or to a natural or human-caused event, what backup availability will exist? Is it a good idea to have all of our eggs in one basket?
I can tell you they all have backup dispatch centers, and they're all equipped in a moment's notice to switch over. It's just that certainly there would be some problems with it. I don't feel I'm at liberty to tell you where all the dispatch centers are, but right now there's four. Amalgamate two together, you've saved a few million dollars on that alone and that. But they're all, that's the law now that you have to have the backup centers.
Thank you, Your Worship.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. Thank you, Councillor Gale. The correspondence that we received from Deb Morton back on September 1st to our clerk outlines the motion that you're looking for support on. And it reads that the Town of Fort Erie Council endorses the long-term plan for the merging of police, fire, and EMS, and it goes on from there. And I'm wondering if we're being asked to endorse a plan that doesn't really exist. It's a concept. It's somewhere we'd like to be, but we don't really have the facts, to my colleague Councillor Butler's point, to endorse really a plan. And I'm wondering if I think we will revert this back to staff for comments, but would you be comfortable with something along the lines of when the time comes if council endorsed it, that we endorse the creation of a steering committee to explore cost savings and efficiencies through the merging of EMS dispatch services?
I think that'd be perfect.
Okay, because I think the wording of the motion
sense.
The wording of the motion that we've been put to is basically, we'd like you to endorse the plan. We don't have a plan.
Right.
We have a concept, and we're going to try and get there.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
It's a common sense of the whole thing.
Okay, yep. Thank you, Councillor Gale.
Any other councillors? Councillor Gale, to be clear, I understand that there are some jurisdictional issues that need to be dealt with.
With regards to?
Merging of fire, emergency medical, and police. Three different jurisdictions. One is municipal, lower tier. One is...
Oh, most definitely. That's why I'm here at council.
Any information to date from the Ministry of Health with respect to their views of releasing control of their hold on EMS dispatch?
And the talk through the chief is that there were two different areas that talked about merging EMS together with these outlets. And I had understood in the Belleville area that EMS has come in fold with it, but in Kitchener last year in June of 2014, they made a motion to merge all the fire and the police together. That hasn't happened. And I don't know why it fell apart or whatever, but this is what we'd have to look at as a steering committee. As far as EMS, that would be the toughest nut of the whole.
Just to clarify, so in Kitchener-Waterloo, there was a motion that wasn't carried, or?
In June 2014, they made a motion to merge fire and police dispatch. It has not been done yet.
Was the motion carried?
The motion was carried, but it has not happened yet.
I see. And you mentioned one other location. Did you say
Belleville? I believe, has that area, and I don't know the county there or the region there, merged them all together. But I'm remiss to say that it's all flowing there now with the note that I've got in June 2014. The Kitchener area said they were going to do it and it hasn't been done yet.
Okay.
Point here is trying it.
Right. Those would certainly be models, or at least Belleville would be a model that you could look to in terms of moving forward with your efforts, I would think.
Most definitely.
And you might be able to find out whether they've had some cost savings or be improved efficiencies.
The problem with this, Mayor, speaking through you or to you, is I'm not after putting all my efforts into doing this until I see that the councils wish to try and do this. And as far as me spending all my time doing this, I'm also chair of the police board, and I'm the one that brought this up. So your questions are very valid. But if they form a steering committee, we'll get those answers. And we'll see. If it's not worth it, it's not worth it. If we can't be done... I talked to a Brock University professor. He said, protect yourself, because everything moves to the upper level if you put everything together. You end up paying a lot more than what you, as Ford Area Port Colborne, should. So we're careful of that stuff. But as far as seeing a game plan, I have no agenda in place other than right now forming a steering committee and seeing how we can achieve this, because no one has done anything so far.
And if I might, you've been to how many councils now? How many municipal councils?
I think you're my eighth or ninth.
What kind of feedback are you getting?
Exactly the same as this. I'll say
questions
about different things. Caution, yes. Nobody wants to rush into anything, and that's why I protect myself by saying I'm not here to bully myself in this. I'm just using common sense on this.
I think Councillor Passero may have hit on one of the concerns that municipal councils might have, and that is the resolution that's being proposed is that we actually endorse a plan which we have no particulars with respect to. We don't know whether this will save money for our residents. We don't know whether it would be a more efficient system. We don't know whether it will work, and we don't know whether all constituent parts would actually agree from a jurisdictional level. And I think EMS is a major issue. So I think that Councillor Passero's comments are quite appropriate. You may want to bear that in mind when
it might just come that fires come together.
Well, they're all together except for one, and that happens to be the city from which you come.
Correct.
So,
and
it
can
could
I justify
be.
That? No.
It could, yeah, it could be. Anyways, as you go to the remaining municipalities, you might want to bear in mind the emphasis should be on the steering committee. If I could make that suggestion to you,
I'll agree with you 100%.
I know you're very agreeable.
Well,
thank you very much.
Steering committee is what we're looking for.
Right. Any other councillors have any other questions? Thank you very much, Councillor Bale. Gale and Chief McGuire. Thank you. No, I don't think so. Thank you. That takes us then to the consent agenda, and Councillor Butler, you have resolution number one, which deals with that.
I do. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to any of the consent agenda items or any items that anyone wishes lifted? Councillor Lubbers?
Yes, thank you very much. Just looking at the correspondence from that we're just discussing and the remarks from Council Passero, I want to just ask, I know we're only receiving it for information, but we're receiving it for information as it's written. I'm just wondering if we should just something on the record that we are accepting the report, but we would like to see it worded differently.
Well, we're receiving the correspondence for information, and if you wanted to do something as a follow-up other than receiving it for information, I would suggest that you have to do that under new business, because this is the letter that they've written. We can't really alter their correspondence.
Yes, well, I just like to have it noted for the record that we're accepting this, but we have recognized that there's some changes that need to be made to that report, to that
What we're actually doing is receiving it, and if Councillor wanted us to do something further with respect to this, I would suggest that that be raised under new business. But if, for an example, if you wanted to pursue this by having staff make a report relative to whether we should endorse a motion that a steering committee be established, you might want to do that under new business. Otherwise, this correspondence is for us to receive only.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or comments with respect to the consent agenda items? There being none, then I'll call the question. All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to responses to inquiries, and there aren't any responses on this evening's agenda. New business and inquiries. Business?
Yes, I think we would like to make, I'd like to make a motion that we, I don't know if Councilor Passero would like to bring it forward, because it was his thoughts that maybe we should change these, this information that we received from the region.
I think that's up to the region. I think that's up to the Regional Police Services Board to decide whether they want to take a different tack, but I'll let you carry on. You'd have to have a seconder for your motion once you've decided what it is.
Well, I thought the reason I brought it up in the first place was because Councillor Passero brought it up. If he would like to bring that motion forward, I think it's important that we have something on record that we're looking at something that they presented to us, and we'd like them to understand that what we're approving is maybe putting together a steering committee. I think that that's the best way that this council should go with that correspondence that we received. And if Councilor Passero would like to bring something forward, I would support it.
Zero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. I would like to direct this back to staff for additional information in the form of a report, and with the focus being on whether or not this merits an endorsement of the creation of a steering committee, I would like to get staff's recommendation. But that's as far as I'm prepared to go to endorse this evening.
Is there a seconder for that? Butler? Any other questions or comments? Any comments at this point, Chief?
Your Worship, I think that's the best course of action at this time. We currently don't have a lot of information, as you've seen tonight. The report, in my opinion, is a bit outdated. Many things have been updated since that report has come forward, and yes, there may be opportunities for efficiencies in the future, but for yourselves to make a decision, you definitely need more information. So I think the best course of action is to look for more information to make an informed decision somewhere down the road.
Well, I believe the motion is, and I think Councillor Lubbers, you wanted to speak to this as well, But I believe the motion is what, Madam Clerk? What is the motion?
As I understand it, Your Worship, the motion that Councillor Passera has put on the floor is that they are directing this matter to staff to present a report with a focus on the merits of endorsing the creation of a steering committee.
Okay, is that captured? Councillor Lubert, you had a comment.
Yes, thank you very much. Again, I'm going to support the motion, but I think when the report comes forward, what I'd like to also see in the report is when they're talking about efficiencies, now there was some discussion when Mr. Gale was here, and Councillor McDermott made some points, and Councillor Butler made some good points. And one of them was the efficiency of St. Catharines. And from what I heard, from what Councillor McDermott read in the report, St. Catharines is doing a very good job, and they're very, very efficient at what they do. So I'm a little concerned about what are the efficiencies that you're looking for, because he also talked about attrition, and everybody's worried about their jobs and that they're going to lose their jobs. And he tries to soften it by saying nobody's going to lose their jobs, but through attrition, a job is no longer available for someone to apply for that job. And that's my concern, because I think all of us understand that, not just in Fort Erie, but all over the region, that's one of the big concerns that we have. Nobody has a job. So if we start cutting jobs out through attrition to achieve efficiency, you know, I don't know that I really like those ideas either. And I think in the report, that needs to be known, that the efficiencies are not financial. Efficiencies have to be actual speed and improvements to the dispatch. Thank you.
Chief?
Your Worship, one of my comments is that there may be efficiencies there in other ways than just staff. And Councillor Gale did mention the one thing that we're doing currently. If you look out the door, the new tower has been erected behind the Leisureplex. And we have, although it's a regional tower, the partnership allows us to put some of our infrastructure for both IT, operations department, and the fire department on that tower. So there are some efficiencies there that would save us money. And those are some other options we can look at. Even if it wasn't a staff amalgamation, there are other options for efficiencies.
Any other councillors? Hunter Zanko, would you take the chair, please, because I'd like to make some comments on this. I'm a little surprised that we would be putting forth a motion whatsoever, because we're asked this evening to endorse a plan that doesn't exist, and most of the communities are accepting it in the same vein that we are. It's so fuzzy and amorphous that no one is really getting behind it. If their real intent is to set up a steering committee, I would have thought that that's what the Niagara Police Services Board would have come forward with. And if we're going to be asking our staff to do a report, which is the chief, we've already received a 7-page memorandum with respect to comments relative to this initiative to merge these three services, the dispatch of the three services. I don't know that the chief has much more additional information, and I'm not, for one, prepared to have the chief spend a lot of time trying to put together information that, if the region or the police services board wants to follow a course of action, they should be putting together that information. As the chief has said, there are changes that are about to take place, that's outlined in his memorandum, and there are some serious issues that we're going to need to deal with in terms of dispatch. Whether that's going to be in some other larger format, I don't know. But I'm not anxious to have our staff spend a lot of time chasing its tail when we don't really know exactly what the regional services board, police services board, has in mind, even when they're coming to us with a presentation. I would think a more prudent course would be for the police services board to finish their round of the area municipalities and then decide that, yes, what they should be asking for is a steering committee. And then we can decide who's going to be doing the background work to determine whether or not there are jurisdictional issues that can be overcome. who's going to be doing the background work to find out whether there are efficiencies, and if so, what those efficiencies are, and who's going to do the background work to find out what the implications are going to be in terms of manpower, in terms of redundancy, the benefit of a redundant system. So are there going to be two locations? So far, what we've been told is there would be one. So I think those are all pieces of information that really would assist me in determining whether or not I'd want to support a motion that we do anything. Because at this stage of the game, I believe that we would be the only municipal council that would be passing any type of motion to pursue this. And this is really, it's not part of our agenda. We may be, it may be thrust upon us. We may have to deal with it, and that's fine. And then the final component is, who's going to be paying the cost of doing the background work that's necessary? Maybe there should be some type of cost sharing among the various municipalities and services that are being affected. So I'm not going to support the resolution simply because I think that we're doing work that the Police Services Board, which is the motivator for this particular initiative, ought to be getting a bit better organized on. Anyways, thank you.
Are there any other comments? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't disagree entirely with the Mayor. And I'm not asking for our Chief to prepare the plan on behalf of EMS or the region. What I'm asking for is the Chief's best recommendation as to whether there's merit to proceed forward with a steering committee to bring that back as a recommendation. And we're not endorsing anything tonight. We're not endorsing a plan. We're not endorsing the steering committee itself. We do that when the Chief brings back his information. And I'm not opposed to being the first municipal council to say maybe there's merit to doing that, but we can debate that when the time comes. So I'm not looking for our staff to do any of the legwork. I'm not looking for them to prepare a fulsome report, just a best recommendation as to whether or not there would be merit in the creation of a steering committee. And I think Councillor Gale recognized tonight that their motion, I think, is flawed in its wording. I don't have a problem with us being the first municipal council to point that out, correct that going forward, and if this council sees fit based on the Chief's comments, which don't have to be lengthy, does not have to be in report form, but if we see it fit that we do think there's some merit to at least move forward and have that discussion, one of the things the Chief could put in there or is the framework to how he thinks we could best fit into that discussion, but I think it's worth getting the Chief's response. We can move forward at that time. We're not endorsing anything this evening. We're just looking to the next step and get some more information. So I'd like my motion to stand as it is.
Councillor Roberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. And just to reflect on what Councillor Passero was saying, from what I'm gathering from the motion, maybe the clerk can read it again, but I'm looking at more or less getting some answers from some of the questions that we asked this evening of Mr. Gale. If we are going to go forward and tell the region, yes, we support that you go ahead with your steering committee, I think these answers need to, or questions need to be answered before we endorse any type of resolution for the region. I think they're important questions. And, I mean, we didn't have much to go by, but even if we did have the report to go by, the people that were presenting the report didn't have the answers. And, I don't, you know, so that's what I'm looking for from the Chief. Our questions, and if there's going to be a steering committee established, that they understand this is the criteria that we're looking at from the town of Fort Erie's point of view. This is what we want to be as part of your steering committee's report coming back, is we want these things to be addressed. And so I'm going to support the motion. Thank you.
Councilor McDermott.
I think the big problem is I think they were a little premature in coming this evening. They didn't come armed with information. It's like biting a pig in a poke. And, you know, I think they should have been a little more forthcoming on information. And I think it's information that they don't have. So I'll support the motion and hope that as we move down the line, we get some real information that we can at least speak to an issue intelligently. I think the public expect that from us, so I think that's what we should do.
Mayor Redekop?
Yeah, just one final comment, and that is that the memorandum that we received from the chief, our fire chief, is dated November the 19th, so that's last Thursday. And I know what the recommendation is going to be. In the absence of additional information, in the absence of him having to go out and get more information with respect to this, we know what his recommendation is because it's in his memorandum. Number one, council received the letter for information purposes, and two, council urge all regional dispatch centers to continue to look for operational efficiencies and partnerships in technology. So we know what the recommendations are going to be unless there's some further work that the chief is going to be doing. And I'm not about to have the chief spend a lot of time going out getting additional information, which the proponents for the resolution from the regional police services don't have. So I appreciate that there's a difference of opinion on this particular issue. I just don't want the chief spending time on things that
Councillor McDermott?
Well, might I add then that Councillor Passero might change his motions to eliminate report and just add comments so we can get that comment on the record.
Councillor Passero?
Through you, Madam Chair, to my colleague. I have no issue with that, just to change it from report to comments, but I'd also add that I think the chief's original memorandum to us, and the chief can tell me if I'm wrong, but that's based on the motion that was being presented to us tonight to endorse a plan. And that's what that memorandum was based on. And I think tonight we have found fault in what the Mr. Gale was asking for. So I'm kind of turning that full circle to say, look, let's forget about that. Maybe the information is exactly the same. Maybe the recommendation will be exactly the same. But what I'm looking for is now that we've realized there's fault to what they were asking for, is this is what I'm now asking for. Are there merits to proceeding with a steering committee to look for efficiencies? And it may be the chief going home tonight having a pop and typing out a two-sentence phrase saying, you know what, work has already been done. Here's my recommendation. I'd like that to come back forward, giving this new focus. I think the chief's comments were based on, are we going to be asked tonight to make a decision to endorse what they're asking for? Their motion was flawed. We have the information. Let's take it in a different direction.
Thank you, Councillor Passero. I'm wondering if maybe the chief would like to just make comment because he might be able to have that statement for you right now after the information he's provided us.
Thank you, Chair. The information that I've provided you is the vast majority of what I know about this process to this point. And basically that there are a lot of questions out there that the region really need to get a handle on before we can move forward. And the region, the Ministry of Health, and all 12 municipalities in the area, as well as what do we do with the two outside regional municipalities using St. Catharines dispatch services. If it's going to be regional, do they have to go somewhere else? So my recommendation, as I mentioned before, if it is a report or information, is that we direct the region to start looking at and telling us what these efficiencies can be and putting together a 10-year plan or a 20-year plan. But I say without getting into a lot of detail, it wouldn't be too difficult to put together a short report with some of this information in it.
Thank you. I maybe can ask the clerk to repeat the motion that's on the floor just so everybody knows what we are voting on.
Through you, Madam Chair, I would seek clarification on if the friendly amendment posed by Councillor McDermott was indeed accepted by Councillor Passero to change it from a report to, say, a memo. Would that be appropriate? Okay. In that case, Madam Chair, the motion before Council is that Council directs staff to present a memorandum regarding the merits of endorsing the creation of a steering committee for the merging of police, fire, and emergency services dispatch.
Thank you. Are there any additional comments or questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? That carries. I will hand the chair back to you, Mayor Redekop.
Thank you. I'll try to do better. we're still under new business and inquiries. Is there any other new business? Inquiries. There was a motion that I've provided some background information to councillors with respect to the Miller's Creek Marina project that the Niagara Parks Commission is moving forward with, and the next milestone for them will be in the new year. So I've suggested and requested that that be deferred until February, as it appears on the agenda. If there is no other new business and no other inquiries, then we'll move to notices of motion. Does anyone have a notice of motion they wish to provide? Being none, we'll move to consideration of bylaws. And Councillor McDermott, you have the bylaw for first and second reading. Does anyone wish any of the bylaws removed from the package? No? Then please proceed.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that the bylaw package containing 138-2015 to adopt the preliminary capital budget for the Town of Fort Erie for the year 2016, 139-2015 to exempt a certain lot and registered plan 59M-309 from part lot control pursuant to Section 50 of the Planning Act 1990, 3958 and 3962 Lower Coach Road, 800547 Ontario Limited, Ed Letitian. 140-2015 to authorize the transfer of public land known as Johnston Road to APRA Margarita Peru. 141-2015 to continue and regulate a fire department for the Town of Fort Erie and repeal bylaws number 28-07, 1678-82, and 1705-82. 142-2015 to amend bylaw number 10-2015 to appoint persons to various boards and committees for the Town of Fort Erie. And 143-2015 to authorize the entry into an execution of a letter of agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in right of the province of Ontario represented by the Minister of Transportation under the dedicated gas tax funds for public transportation is given first and second reading.
Thank you. All those in favor? That is carried. The bylaw package is on the floor for questions or comments. Being none, then Councillor Lubberts, you have the resolution for third and final reading.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaws number 138-2015, 139-2015, 140-2015, 141-2015, 142-2015, and 143-2015 are hereby given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any questions or comments? There being none, all those in favor of the resolution? None opposed, that is carried. Councillor Passero, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw number 144-2015 to confirm the actions of council at its meeting held on November 23rd, 2015 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? That is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have the third and final reading for that.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that bylaw number 144-2015 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Scheduled? Next Monday, there is no council meeting, so I know that there's some meetings the following week, and I know that the spirit of Christmas starts in Ridgeway on Friday, December the 4th at 5 p.m., and there's something, I believe a Christmas tree lighting on Saturday, December the 5th. I've got 11:45 a.m. Any other meetings?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. We have a Communities in Bloom meeting on Thursday, November 26th at 5:30 here at the Town Hall.
Zero.
Thank you, Mayor Redekop. We have a joint meeting of the Accessibility Advisory Committee as well as the Fort Erie Active Transportation Committee. We try to do this on an annual basis, and this year it will be Tuesday, December 1st, 4:30 p.m., and we're looking forward to the Chief hosting us at the Central Fire Station. Thank you.
Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. We have a Ridgeway Business Improvement Association meeting on Wednesday, December the 2nd at 5:15 at the Legion in Ridgeway. And we also have a CDS meeting, Community and Development Services meeting, on Thursday, December the 3rd at 4 o'clock p.m.
At the Town Hall?
Yes, it is.
Any other meetings? Then, in the absence of Councillor Nutt, I hope somebody has a resolution for us to adjourn. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that Council adjourns at 7:15 p.m. to reconvene into special meeting of Council on Monday, December 7th, 2015, immediately following the Council and Committee meeting.
All those in favor? Unsurprisingly, that's unanimous. Thank you.